and gentlemen.
Let's go.
Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at? Where Brooklyn at?
Well, actually, I live in Delaware now, so does that make me a Delawarean?
Keep singing, girl.
You know, Beyonce is my friend in my head. They my people sometimes, too. You know, when I was a kid, I had an imaginary enemy. Like, does that make me crazy?
Life as P, presented by Say What Radio.
Hey, what's good? Welcome to Life as P. I'm your host, Phoenix Ash. If you are a repeat listener, I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for all the retweets. Thank you for the messages. I've had a couple of messages this week, either on my timeline or in my DM or Instagram. And I just love how you guys reflect on what it is that I talk about and talk to me about it. And I kind of feel like I'm your friend a little bit. Thank you. I appreciate that. If you are a new listener, thank you for joining me. I appreciate you giving me a shot. However you heard about us, and I say us because it's the Say What Radio Network. Thank you. Thank you. Good looking to your mother, brother, sister, auntie, cousin, whoever, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, husband, wife, children, whoever thought you needed to hear my voice. Thank you. So let's get into it. Whew. The past couple weeks, right? I feel like the past couple shows I've been talking about the past couple weeks. I guess maybe I'm just in the season of learning. There's reminders all about the place. New seeds being planted all about the place. So I don't even know if this is transition or, you know, which is scary because like I can't call the season. I don't know what the season is. I can't call it. So that's a little scary for me because I look at everything. I look at the patterns and, you know, it's one of my gifts and curses, I guess, is that I try to like figure out the puzzle of life. And sometimes it's not meant for me to figure it out in that point or at that point, rather. And I struggle with that. I struggle with trying to figure things out because sometimes I spend too much time trying to do the math on it rather than live through the experience and see what that experience has had for me when I look back on it. I'm working on that. The reason why I say that is because I had a reminder a couple weeks ago, which I ended up discussing with someone today. And I was just like, damn, you know, another reminder. So what's the reminder? Let me stop talking all around it. It was that, you know, sometimes I may sound crazy. And there's somebody in my life who's listening to the show who's like, sometimes. And like, okay, so, and what's next? No, but sometimes I may sound crazy with the boundaries that I set. I may sometimes seem over the top. I'm doing too much. I'm too strict with, you know, what I let in and what I give out or whatever. And, you know, it just seems extra sometimes to some people. And I know why those boundaries are in place. I know why I have it set up. And some part of it is fear, right? So people are telling you crazy, you're doing too much because they see the fear. And they're like, no, like you can't live fearfully. You have to like calm down a little bit. And I'm just like, you know, I don't really know how to do that, especially because I'm responsible for another life. And I'm like, it's not just me. I need to protect her also. But I'm trying to figure out the balance, trying to figure out, you know, what side of the fence do I need to stand on or how can I be the fence? How can I be what's in the middle that separates the two? So I don't know. I'm figuring it out. But and excuse me if you hear me like snort or anything, you know, allergy season, it just never goes away for me. So I'm going to try my best not to sound incredibly gross. But so recently, this whole dating thing or whatever, dating thing or whatever. You know, I have like these boundaries, like, you know, I'm not really comfortable with someone picking me up in my house to go on a date just yet. I feel like that's after I know you for a while. I'm just not big on giving out my address to people that I've never met before or people that I know very little about. And, you know, perhaps that means I need to spend more time talking to you before we go on a date. I don't know. Maybe that's it. But I know there's like this rush recently to like meet people face to face. I'm just like, can we just FaceTime? But you know, or whatever. And I have like, you know, the way my house is set up, I have like a whole porch. Like, I don't even have to let you inside. We could sit on a porch. We could sit on a stoop, especially now that the summer's coming or whatever. But I don't know. There's a bunch of boundaries that I have, you know, things that I don't necessarily want to talk about, things that I'm very strict on, right? I still have the ability to make babies, but I'm very clear that I do not want to make any more. I love children. So if you have a child, I'm more than happy to get to know you well enough to be a motherly figure in that child's life, because I love kids and I love to connect with people, but I don't want to physically make any more children. You know, if you know any bit about my story, you know that it's been rough for me. Sadia, who's my precious baby girl, she's 7 years old and she is the first of 8 children to survive. So I had 7 children that I had to lose prior to having her. And so the whole idea of pregnancy and the anxiety of, you know, waiting with bated breath if this child is going to even survive, and if they do survive, or is it a healthy survival and all of that. I don't have it in me anymore. And I'm getting old. And I don't want to start over. And I love the relationship that I have with my daughter. And she wants siblings, but I think she would actually fare better with older siblings. I mean, if she had a younger sibling, that's great. I just want that child to already be created. Like, you can have a 2-year-old. And I'm like, listen, I'm not holding it against you that you have a 2-year-old. Like, you know, we can work this out. Especially if the baby mama want to be cool with me, because, you know, I feel like it takes a village. So there's no need to, like, make anyone struggle to raise their child on their own. But aside from that, I know that when I discuss with my friends, guys and girls, or guys and women, sorry, that sometimes I seem really over the top with my boundaries. It's like when I first had Sadie when she was a baby, right? I just had her, so of course she was a baby. But there were these shots that, you know, people needed to get. And I don't even at this time remember what shots they were. But I wanted people to have these shots before they came to visit her. And there are people in my life who are like, that's ridiculous. I'm not doing that. You know, I am against immunizations or whatever. It was just crazy, right? I didn't know that these people were against immunizations until the situation arose. And that's fine for yourself. But when I'm thinking about a newborn baby, that is my first to survive, my only survivor. I've lost 7 children before her. I don't knock you if you are against immunizations for yourself, but you have no right to tell me that I'm ridiculous for the boundaries that I set up for my child that I am trying to keep alive. And so there are things that I want to keep in place to give her a better fighting chance, because at the time, you know, she's so small, so fragile, and has no real defense against what may come. And I am her leading line of protection. So I did what I could, and I set whatever boundaries I could. Right or wrong, you can feel however you want. My baby's here. She survived. She's good. She's hardly ever been sick. So whatever. I'm glad that's how things turned out. But, you know, when I would set forth my boundaries, very similar to my dating boundaries, you know, it's like, it's the fear, right? So I had the fear that, you know, this is my one survivor. And oh my God, I can't fathom losing her. That would crush me. What it would do to me is unthinkable, because I know the therapy that I require. I know the therapy that I still require because of past traumas that I'm like, I don't want my family to experience that kind of trauma. Like, she's here. Like, let's celebrate. Let's be joyous. And let's do everything we can to keep her here. And, you know, there were times when, you know, me and her father would get into these arguments because I would be like, you're not doing what you can to make sure she survives. There are situations that I feel like, why is that a situation that is not protecting her? I don't like it. And, you know, I had to like cut it off and be like, listen, if you're not going to respect her life, then, you know, we can't have that situation again. so you figure it out, but that it ain't happening again. And so we would bump heads on stuff like that. And I would just be like, you know, she's not, in my mind, she's not just a regular child. And really, no child is a regular child. But for me, I'm like, you know, like, you can't be treating my child like she come a dime a dozen, because she doesn't. And it was so difficult. I mean, I had 2 pregnancies prior to her where I needed blood transfusions when I lost the pregnancies. And, you know, I had to be in the hospital for multiple days when, you know, I lost the twins. So it's just a lot. It's a lot to heal from. And when you're trying to heal from all that trauma, the last thing you want to do is risk additional trauma unnecessarily. And the same thing with my dating life, right? My marriage, my past experiences that led up to my marriage. And right now, my past dating experiences, it has not been great. So some of it has been a little traumatic. And so I'm trying to heal from these traumas so that when I finally meet who I'm gonna fall in love with, and who's gonna fall in love with me, or finally get to spend time with that person. Like, I have no idea what love looks like for me. I'm be keeping real. I have no clue. I see these beautiful love stories and people like gushing over the person that they love. Men with these like amazing vows and dedication, and not even just the words that they say, but the things that they did. I saw like this one video, was it on TikTok? I don't know. It was somewhere. And the I probably saw it on Twitter, honestly, but it was probably posted from TikTok. But anyhow, it was like this one dude, he was saying his vows or whatever, and he was explaining the woman's engagement ring, and there was a stone in her engagement ring. And he was like, I told you that, you know, one day I would explain that stone to you. And so the stone is actually not a stone. It's made of her tooth enamel, because the day that he realized he was going to marry her, she chipped her tooth. And so he picked it up and he kept it or whatever. And it was just like I had to be loved that much is so amazing. And honestly, in a scary way, it's kind of unfathomable for me, because I'm just like, wow, that exists. Like, I've never felt anything like that. I've never experienced anything like that. And probably I wouldn't, right? Because I haven't met the one. I wouldn't. But that just seems so incredible to me. And I think about my past and my traumas, right? And, you know, of course, I've been to therapy and stuff. And, you know, at one point it was like, you know, you have PTSD from your past relationship. You're married to a narcissist and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God. The problem with that is it seems to be that I might be slightly attracted to people who are slightly narcissistic. So I'm trying to figure that out. I don't know if these are all narcissists or they just have narcissist traits that I need to be aware of, or that they need to be aware of, so that we can communicate like adults and work through certain things. I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna keep saying I don't know, because I'm getting more comfortable with saying I don't know. And I need to be comfortable with saying I don't know, because that'll free me in trying to figure out every single thing in my life as a freaking puzzle. And maybe I'll sleep at night. But the boundaries that I have set forth, part of it is from fear, but part of it, I think, is some wisdom, right? I've been in some fucked up situations, honestly, and I've been violated. I've been taken advantage of. I've been mistreated. And it's very hard to go through those things and not blame yourself and not say, well, you know, I'm gonna take accountability, right? Because people are like, oh, everyone's a victim or whatever. And you just, you know, I came up in an age where like victim blaming is what you did. So part of it is part of my mentality, unfortunately, which, you know, I got to figure my way through. But sure, it's these people's fault for being trash human beings who want to issue this kind of trauma. But you try to separate that from like, are you truly a trash human being, or was I just not the person for you and you just didn't know how to handle it, or you didn't know how to communicate it, or was I missing something? Was I missing a piece of communication that I didn't read through properly, or that I didn't receive well, or, you know, I didn't hear or something? But, you know, you take some accountability and you say, well, you know, perhaps I was too quick to give this person access to this portion of myself or this portion of my life or access to where I live, or, you know, maybe they shouldn't know a car I drive or whatever. I mean, it's really crazy. It's not like, you know, people are like, are you doing too much? It's like, have you ever come home to someone sitting outside your house, someone that you have already like cut off and they're just sitting outside your house, or that, or come home and they have sent someone to sit outside your house? Like, that is scary. That's very scary. So I'm on guard, and I feel like things are over the top and part of paranoia until it's not. Right? Until the situation actually happens and they go, oh, wow. Oh, that really happened. Oh, wow. Because everything that's traumatic in your life is a, oh, wow, is it something that I would not have expected. So unfortunately, the way that my mind is built is like, well, let's expect everything. And then let's not get caught off guard. Let's put an action plan into place for everything and figure out how we're going to heal and move on, because I expect to need to heal and move on. It's scary. It's crazy. And I can't wait to be in the wonderful, loving relationship that will stop me from having to worry about healing and moving on. So I pray that in these moments prior to that, I heal and move on so that I'm ready to love on that person in the way that they need to be loved, so that they too don't need to heal and move on. But I have them set in place, and it's crazy. Like, you know, people say it's too much. And recently, you know, like, I allowed someone to, you know, come to my house, and I feel like they didn't respect my home. And it just made me go, see, like, I was right. And they didn't treat the access with care. And they just trying to, I feel like, went about life and sort of shrugged it off. And I felt violated, kind of. So, I don't know. I feel like, let me trust myself. Let me trust the boundaries that I set. It's crazy because now when I communicate the story to my closest friends, now my boundaries make sense. And now it's like, girl, stick to your guns. You know what you want. You know what you're okay with. And if this is the effect that it's going to have on you when you step outside of yourself and take that chance, if the person is not, like, it's a hit or miss if the person is going to value what you're giving them access to. And don't get me wrong, it's not about sex. Like, it's not like, you know, I smashed and feel away or whatever. But in general, you know, even jobs, right? Like, we think jobs are going to save us. We go to this job and we get to know people at work. And some of us, if you're like me, you know, you're kind of cognizant of how much access you're giving people to your personal life, to who you are outside of the job. I don't want to say to who you are for real, because they're all real parts of you. I think you just shed light on different parts depending on what situation you're in. But you decide, like, sometimes we meet coworkers who become friends or become family. But it's a decision, at for me at least, every step of the way, if how close will I allow you to get to me? How intimate will our friendship be? It's layers to it for me. You know, when I say layers, I mean layers. Like, I will introduce myself, you know, I'm using one name. And, you know, most of the time I introduce myself as Phoenix, because that is my name. That is my writer name. That's the name I created for myself. That is what I do most of my entertainment under. So that is my name. There's another layer, though. Like, you know, when we get a little closer, I might give you my personal name. And even that is a middle name. And I'm just like, you know, very specific people call me by my first name. But there's layers. There's layers. And I just feel like sometimes people are offended that, oh, like, well, you told me this and then, you know, you want a date, but you didn't give me a real name. But I'm very upfront that, you know, there's layers to this and this is what this name is or whatever. But if I do give it, you know, sometimes I'm like, I prefer you not to call me such and such because, you know, that's just, I'm not comfortable with that. And people sometimes abuse that and they think it's a joke and they're like, and they, you know, have little snappy comebacks and, you know, or wake you up in the morning using a name that you said, I prefer you not use. And they think it's cute and they think it's a way to poke fun, which is why I cut off the access and don't tell you what the shit is anyway, because I don't have time for that. You know, I like to laugh. I like to have a good time or whatever. But I feel like if I kind of set up a boundary that goes with a comfort level, respect the comfort level. Okay, don't assume that the comfort level has changed. Let's discuss how these comfort levels are changing so that we or move or read the room. Sometimes, you know, you can read the room and get it, but like people are real premature in a lot of things, in a lot of ways that they handle you. And my way of circumventing your premature comfort is by, you know, giving you access to certain parts of me and keeping you at a certain distance by very slowly getting closer to you. That's my way. Unless we just vibe, unless we just like hit it off. You know, I got a couple friends, my closest friends are people that we just like met and was like, oh my God, you my person. Like we're just people for life. In those situations, things are a little different. But you gotta know. I know it's kind of hard to know, right? But you gotta kind of know. I don't know. Very weird. But the whole situation recently just reminded me, like, I might sound crazy. And it's in everything, you know, my dreams, my aspirations, my work ethic, what I'm working towards, in the ways that I'm working towards it. It may not look like what you think it should look like. I may not walk the path you think I should walk. It may not make the most financial sense to some people. It may not have the most common sense, but it's because of my experience, because of my vision, because of my need to protect my home. Right now, I am the head of household. Right now, I am the protector. I am the provider. And I have to do as a protector and a provider would. So that is me in this spot doing what I have to do. And I have to trust me. Before I can trust you, I have to trust me. And I have to be able to trust my decision making. And that comes with trusting my boundaries, no matter how crazy they sound to someone else. One of the things that I've learned recently is if somebody, and I think I talked about this on a last show, if somebody's jumping out the window to make me trust them, they're probably untrustworthy, you know, but I had to like see that and be like, oh, wait a minute. You know, this is the pattern that I'm recognizing. So I don't need to jump out the window to make me trust myself. And I don't need to jump out the window to make anyone else see the logic in what I do and why I do it. I don't need to do that. I need to understand myself, understand why certain things are in place. Not that I won't listen to the advice of someone else, because I will listen to a voice of reason. When things make sense, I do incorporate it into what I'm thinking and what I'm doing. And I try to see how things align and how it makes sense for me. And if it truly makes sense for me, I will follow that advice and I will take heed and I will give credit where it's due. But I know why certain things are in place. And God reminds me all the time, because anytime I always say I'm always wrong when I doubt myself. That's the only time that I'm ever truly wrong. And the minute that I step outside of what I set up in order to protect me, I get hurt. And it's not no regular. It's like this deep hurt where I now have to question myself. I have to question, why did I let my guard down? Why did I do this? Why did I do that? And like, that's just more trauma to freaking heal from. So rather than heal from more trauma, you know, why don't I get myself in situations where the people are emotionally intelligent enough to respect that I need to take my time and to respect that, you know, these boundaries will probably change. They will evolve. They will, you know, have some cracks in them, and I will let you in over time. I don't understand what this rush is. Like, I need to be let in right now. That right there is very scary to me. Like, if you need right now to like be in love tomorrow and to be, you know, these people, there are people I'm meeting who are like, want to start a relationship from the middle. And I'm like, what? I don't even know your last name. What are you doing here? This is too much. Can we get to know each other? Can we see if we are each other's type of asshole? Can we see, do we have a foundation for a friendship? Can we laugh together? Do we agree on how to raise children? Do we agree on what morality is and having morals and being a good person and being kind and being loving? And, you know, what's the expectation? And, you know, what are we willing to negotiate and not willing to negotiate? Like, I feel like there's just so much to discuss and so much to get to know that, you know, you don't have to like show up and be like, I want you to live with me and I want you to marry me. Like, what? 2 days? But, and it's those situations too that keep my guard heavily lifted. I run into those situations, and do they sound ridiculous? Absolutely. And not that I'm staying in those situations, but the fact that I've run into them at all just makes me like, oh boy, like, you know, I don't know where people at, or I don't know what's going on with me that this is what I'm attracting. I don't know, right? Because victim blaming, right? And if you spend enough time on the internet, you'll just think that everything wrong in your life is your fault. So log off. Log off. But all of that to say is that you have some boundaries, you have some visions, you have some goals, you have some things that are outlined. And they may sound crazy to everyone else. They may not make sense to anyone but you, but you are who they have to make sense to. You have to be okay with how you're moving. You have to be okay. Because like when my boundaries are in place and things get violated or things get moved, like it hits different. It definitely hits different. I'm like, it hurts. But it's just like, well, what can I do? But when I negotiated these boundaries before I was ready and I get hurt, this is deeper pain. It's like, oh my God, because I'm so mad that I didn't trust myself and that I listened to the advice of someone who has not lived my experience nor understand the perspective of my experience. So there are some things that you got outlined in your life that don't make sense to the people around you, but they make sense to you. And you're moving and you've seen yourself growing. You've seen yourself progressing. You've seen yourself slaying your goals. You've seen yourself accomplishing. You've seen yourself feeling better, having better control over your emotions, feeling more joyous, being more happy, getting your life in order, getting things in alignment. You've seen the progress. You've seen it happening. Trust that. If that's what your boundaries and your outline has done for you, trust it. It doesn't have to make sense for anyone else. You may sound crazy and that's okay. But if you see yourself moving forward and growing and flourishing and, you know, moving towards the life that you want, continue. Trust yourself. Trust what you've been through. Trust what you've survived. Trust the lessons you've learned. Because some of that is not paranoia. Some of that is wisdom. And only you know that it's wisdom because you are the person who has experienced the thing that has taught you that that boundary is necessary in your life. Trust yourself. That is my soapbox. Okay, that is it. If you want to support, I would like you to support. Please support. I ask you, support. Buy my books on Amazon. Delectable, A Sweet Romance is the first romance novel I've ever written. And I think it's pretty cool. It's my most reviewed book. So please leave a review. I'm still like trying to get up there in numbers, right? I got a long way to go. So go ahead and help me with that. If you are an urban fiction kind of person, Savage Fever is the book for you, honey. And if you like to binge, baby, Savage Fever, okay? It's 5 episodes all in one book. You don't have to buy a bunch of different books. You buy one book, you binge on the whole season. Okay, baby, it is worth it. In Her Makeup is the first novel that I've ever written. I'm so very proud of it. Please pick that up. That is actually available on Amazon Books, Kindle, Kindle Unlimited, and Audible. Everything that I write is available on Kindle, Kindle Unlimited, Amazon Books. I prefer you get the paperback, but do what you got to do for your budget. The paperback is great for mine, but do what you got to do. I just want you to read my work, and I hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you review it. Send me a comment. I am on Twitter. I changed my handle. I think it's author. Oh, shit. I can't remember it. Author P. I don't know. Find me. I'm Phoenix Ash, though. I'm always in the mix, so you should be able to find me. I'm always in some mix. I'm tagged in a lot of stuff. So, yeah, I'm in the mix. If you see a shot, take a shot. Look for that. I'm somewhere there. Yeah, on Instagram, I'm Phoenix Ash. I believe my handle is at PWrites, PWrites. I'm on TikTok now. I still can't tell you my TikTok name. It's like Phoenix Ash something. It's a bunch of numbers at the bottom because I think it's probably like 50 million on there with my name. So I don't know. But if you look into indie authors, you might find me because I tag that a lot. Black authors, I tag that a lot. So yeah, find me somewhere. You'll find the podcast. You'll find, well, I think I might have some pictures of me. You want to look at my face? I have the books, of course, they're there. So get at me. Let me know what's up. Let me know what you think. If you want to talk about today's topic, you know, DMs are open for that. Don't send me no dick pics. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Until the next time when we could exchange power. Peace.